Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
What's the haps, girls?
Girls, we're starting in the middle of the night. Like, yeah. See how late it is.
It's even late. Why is it so late, Leah?
Yeah,
it's
why me. Is it so late?
It me.
Because I made the late night.
I did it.
I made it late.
What'd you do? I was supposed to go out. So one of my coworkers, who has worked at this job for 45 years, is retiring.
Jesus Christ.
Can you imagine?
No, wow. I actually feel my internal organs kind of like slunking up into my body. Like, I'm so scared.
Did she like start straight out of college, or is she like really old?
First of all, it's a he. Men are valid.
Oh,
and they're not. But go on.
I'm sorry. I assume all workers are women, to be honest.
Men are allowed in society and
I guess public
You're saying
life.
This was a productive coworker, a woman. I guess you didn't actually say it was. Do you like this coworker? You don't have to
I do.
Say.
I do.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Good.
All right. And it's a man. Yeah. Okay. That's
yeah,
great. It's a man. I love that.
So you yeah. like a coworker, so and it's a man.
Why don't you marry them?
He's also queer, which helps.
All right.
That makes part of it.
Allows your marriage.
He's also 45 years older than me.
I said that I'm not shaming age gaps.
So he started working at your job when you were born.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Okay, so he's retiring.
He's retiring, and we're going to take him out to dinner. And work dinners, like, usually, like, they start the second we click over to 5 o'clock. And, like, they last an hour and a half. I'm like, I'm going to be out of there by 6:30, latest 7. I'll be home by 7:30. The girls won't even know I wasn't in the house, right?
You did still forewarn us, which was
very polite. I did forewarn, but I'm like, you know, maybe because if there's traffic, I might be a couple minutes late. What happened at that restaurant, we all ordered a glass of wine, and then they proceeded to initiate a sequence called bottomless wine.
Why is it like a dance spot?
Did all the waiters kind of stand around your table and say, like, initiate
bottomless wine?
It felt like that because every time you twitched, somebody appeared with a bottle and they filled your glass back up. You have no concept of how much you've been drinking because
that's
like,
hard.
It's like how many glasses of wine? I don't know. I don't know how many I had. And so it was getting rowdier and rowdier at 7:45. I think I messaged you guys and was like, so I'm definitely going to be late. And then I was like, how about 8:30? And I was like, that'll be definitely safe. I think I left the restaurant at 8:30.
Ann and I were just here chit-chatting. I mean, while we're just closing. So Leah messages us and she at whatever time it was. I have to be honest and say that when you told us initially, you were like, I think I'll be through my door at 7:30. Like, so no problem. We can start on time. I forgot about time differences and was like, we usually start at 7. Should I say something? And then I was like, no, I don't care. We can start at 7:30. So I already don't know what's going on. And then you say, like, when you say, I haven't left the restaurant yet, I was like, oh, I remember time differences. Right, right, right. Okay, this all makes sense. And then I immediately said to Anne, like, should we get a little toasty, too? Should we start just in our separate homes, you know? Yeah. I said, should we have a drink? Mm-hmm. And I guess we both said, like, yes.
Yeah, it was so, real resounding yes. I think I said I was going to go get myself a wine.
You did.
Yeah.
You
so.
Did. Yeah. So Anne started drinking. I started drinking. Mm-hmm. We've been drinking. Not that much. Just a really respectable amount. But
no, just perhaps I drank my first cider a little faster than I would normally have drunk it. But
she was excited to have
fine.
A wine.
Yeah.
So I think what we're hoping for tonight, our dreams for tonight, we hope to say nothing intelligent.
Yeah. Mm. Which I'm so grateful for you two girls, because as I was speeding home, I was like, I'm a little tipsy. And I mean, not girls, I was safe to drive. Don't worry about that.
She's safe to drive.
I was safe to drive. But I was like, I'm a little, you know, like the like out of sorts. I haven't gotten into my regular routine. I, you know, was at a rowdy dinner. I also at that moment was like, I don't remember a single thing that happened in wrestling. I'm really worried about weighing down this podcast. And then I logged on and you girls were like, oh no, we're down in the gutter with you. So thank God.
That crawled right down into that sewer with you. Oh, our friend is in the sewer. So are we.
We were like, we won't talk about sexual harassment tonight. Then that's our gift to you.
That's our gift to all of us. Unless it becomes relevant, you know, because the second it's relevant, you know, we'll say what we have to say. So I think this is going to be a great episode. I feel really good about it.
I think you said at the beginning of the schedule you have senioritis, and it is like we've got this week and next week before our big exciting Christmas break. So,
and if
we're watching movies, we're not learning anything.
Oh my God, they're wheeling the VCR and TV into the classroom, and we're putting on Romeo and Juliet, and the substitute teacher's coming up and putting post-its on the screen where the butt's gonna be.
Yeah, in Spanish class, we watched El Norte, which I don't know if you guys have ever seen. It doesn't matter. But there is a sex scene in it. And my Spanish teacher, who was fully deranged, he was the only, like, my high school was a really old building, and the top floor, like the fourth floor, was just like one room. It was the tower, and he had the tower room.
Yeah.
And I think they put him there on purpose. He told us once that he was a Vietnam vet and did not complete his tour of duty in a very weird tone of voice. Anyway, he got instead of having a normal hall pass, he had printed out like a, I would say a twin bed sheet sized, like poster board, and laminated it hall pass. So you had to take that with you for going to the bathroom. And, when we watched El Norte, which had the sex scene in it, he had two of his favorite students had to sit next to the TV holding one end of that large hall pass in either side, and when the scene came up, he indicated they had to stand up and block the TV with the hall pass. Sometimes you really look back on high school and you're like, the teachers were getting away with a lot, really.
Well, to be honest, that's how I watch sex scenes in my home to this day. Because I don't believe in filth.
Yeah, we all do.
I know that about you, Allie. You've said that before. You said, keep it clean.
And you would not believe how long we were standing there holding that poster up when we watched Heated Rivalry the other day. I'll tell you that.
I hope you got Jen and Alice sitting on either side of it.
I got the lesbians up there. I said, come on.
Block it. Don't want to see it. Girls, I only want to watch 3 minutes of this hour-long show. I haven't even watched it. That's just what I hear from the old internet.
So then we were 5 minutes late to Dynamite because we were so busy having a deep intellectual discussion about what was going on in Heated Rivalry, which, to be clear, is not a well-written show. I don't want anyone to misconstrue what's happening here, but like, I love being part of the zeitgeist, and there are certainly things it's doing behind the poster board that I do find quite compelling.
Yeah, you love to hear that.
And to be honest, I don't remember why I brought this up. Oh, we were doing that. We were talking about
When we saw that tweet where someone was like, can you believe that this is all we saw on Interview with the Vampire, like as though they're queerbaiting, and it was like, they full-on have sex on that show. Like, how pornographic do you think they're allowed to be on AM basic cable.
And it's like, imagine how pornographic you think they're allowed to be. Then imagine that they did do stuff they weren't allowed to do. That's what happened on Interview with the Vampire. You know?
Yeah. It's like, I guess you don't see it go in, but like otherwise.
Basically,
you know,
though, pretty yeah. much. I mean, they're fucking in midair, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes I just feel like it's like no matter what is happening on a TV show these days, someone will say like the opposite of what's going on. You know, it's yeah. like the ability to watch something and even just process what you're seeing has been degraded so completely.
It's really troubling. Like, you give everyone the opportunity to broadcast all their thoughts to everyone, and you just find out things about the human race that you would prefer not to know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even want to know the things that I think.
It's true. Keep them away from me.
I was thinking about this again the other day about how it's like, people, so if you read a book, this is great. We'll never get to the wrestling. If you read a book, like one of the things that comes up a lot, and I say this about Tony Khan's wrestling too. It's like someone will say something, you'll be like, well, you said something else last week, so what is the truth? And, you know, that's a big criticism is like narrative inconsistency. That is a very real criticism, but also people are really inconsistent. And so a certain degree of it is intelligent. A certain degree of character inconsistency is actually realistic, which I know because sometimes I just try to remember what I thought about things in the past. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. It could be anything.
Yeah. Right. Especially stuff that you've like changed your mind on and you're like, when did that mind change happen? It's like, I don't know.
And like, it's like sometimes people talk about it in a way where it's almost like they're privileging not changing your mind. And it's like, actually, changing your mind is really good and important. Mm-hmm. And we should be encouraging each other and fictional characters, sure, to do it. It's actually like probably one of the biggest problems we have in society today is that people feel like they can't change their mind. Mm-hmm. So they just have to dig their heels in on the dumbest thing you've ever heard.
It's really true. Yeah. It's like when you gain more information, you should change your mind a lot of the time. Yeah.
You should. Yeah. And I've changed my mind on lots of things. Mm. All the
good
time.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Day to day.
You know? Yeah. Leah, are you still with us?
She's just like looking down at her phone.
You guys covered a lot of philosophical ground.
I guess I thought you might want to jump in.
I will at my leisure.
Certainly in your own time. Well, one bit of pod business is just Anne and I are going to be on the Poison Rana live stream next Wednesday, the 17th.
Leah has opted out, just like she has just now.
Leah said she doesn't want to be there. And
I have a job.
We all have jobs.
I'm trying to hit 45 years.
Well, you wouldn't need to hit 45 years if you would just marry this guy who's retiring, who probably has a huge nest egg.
Mm. Dude, do you know what he said to me today at this dinner? What? He was like, I'm budgeting about $5,000 a month for travel.
Whoa.
Now that he's retired. I was like,
my God.
Wow. My God. I would like to live that life.
Yeah, why aren't you married to him?
Yeah, marry him.
And don't tell me this, he's gay thing.
No one wants to hear it.
The thing is that, like, I don't think we're compatible queers, you know? Like, sometimes it works, but sometimes it's just like,
You don't think that you could live peaceably as in a lavender marriage with him?
I'll say this for my terrible personality. I don't think there's a lot of people I could live peacefully with.
Leah, you have a good personality.
What do you think?
Well, you both are kind of frog boiled into it.
I don't know why I went to go like, now what do you think is the worst characteristic you have that would prevent you from living peacefully?
And isn't frog boiling just what marriage is? I mean, really,
Pretty much. Yeah. Because sometimes you just think about like, well, we can't even get into all that, but honestly, I don't know what we have gotten into.
We could possibly turn in an episode that's like 15 minutes inexplicably about Interview with the Vampire again, and then the rest of the time is just dissecting my personality flaws.
I think we would all want to bring our personality flaws to the table because I have a lot of stuff that is preventing me from building a life with someone else. I will say that freely.
Let's get to the bottom of it, girls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think about this sometimes because I saw a tweet the other day where someone had been like, and I know, you think I should go back to the business? No, I'm not going to.
No, I was just about to say this should be paywalled on our medical Patreon for our mental health.
You're so right. I saw someone had tweeted and been like, went out on a date with this guy. He had all these things going for him. He was like rich. He paid. Like, they went through a bunch of stuff. He was really, you know, we had a fun conversation, blah, 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 blah. But I don't know if I can go out with him again because he was just really, he was too nice. And then someone responded, you know, kind of antagonistically, because our Twitter is trying to red pill us now, and was like, everyone's Twitter is, this is the problem with women today. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's, sure. And I think it might have been another woman or a bot that was pretending to be a woman. It's hard to know.
Some kind of Nigerian bot probably, yeah.
Yeah, classic. But just being like, this is the problem with women today, like just going on a huge rant about it. And I was sitting there and I was just like, you know, I don't want to be controversial, but I actually don't think that you are obligated to date someone because they're nice. Like,
no,
you should date and marry someone. It shouldn't be about any of the things that got described. It should just be about, like, am I willing to be around them?
Yeah.
And for some of us, and it's not a crime, it's not that many people.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Well, the thing is, they shouldn't present it that way because, like, often – like, my experience of internet dating, which I unfortunately have done a lot of, is,
so
like,
brave.
Going... Oh, my God, it's terrible. But just going on so many dates with perfectly nice people that you don't really hit it off with. Like, that's so normal. It's like, there's nothing wrong with this man. We just had nothing to talk about.
We can't live in a world where the expectation is, like, if somebody has no red flags, you have to marry them. Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
You don't. You are agreeing to spend your life in close proximity with that person, you better be having a fucking blast, okay?
Yeah.
And if you're not, you can spend your life with yourself. I have a blast with myself.
And yet you're pushing me to marry my old coworker.
Well, now that you've explained
we've gained more information.
Yeah, we've gained more information.
And we've changed our minds.
Wow. We're modeling the concept of growing as you learn. And we are some of the most powerful women in the world.
Oh my God, I know. Are we like teaching the whole IWC just how to live, basically?
I think so. Leah, do you want to grow and learn about something right now to join us?
I'll work on that during this episode, for sure.
I doubt you will. I don't think you're going to.
Don't worry about it. I'll write it down on my list of personality flaws.
Leah, by the end of this podcast, you better have one thing you changed your mind on.
If you guys ever want to see these lists of personality flaws, join the Patreon. No, there's no Patreon, guys. There's no Patreon.
It'd be so funny if we had a Patreon that was just like a list of our personality flaws.
It's that you get a new personality flaw from one of us once a week.
Yeah.
And we have to write a little mini essay about it.
And then they're like, girls, I think your main personality flaw is how self-loathing you are, maybe.
No. We'll tier it, right? So,
oh,
like,
sure.
The one tier. $5 tier gets you access to the list. But a higher tier, you get to add get things to the list.
There you go. If you're paying $100 a month, you get, like, a full hour podcast on each of our personality flaws.
Yeah. Okay, I want something out of them, though. If they're paying $5.
It's $100. That's what we get out of them.
How much are they paying?
A month.
How much are they paying? $100 a month?
For the top tier full podcast episode. For $5 a month, you just get the list.
I want a tier where they are paying a certain amount and they can add something to the list, but if they add something to the list, they need to include a paragraph explaining themselves.
Oh,
and I think this could work better than therapy.
You think having strangers send in your personality flaws is going to help you out?
They're unbiased observers.
They're observers.
I guess they don't observe that much of my life, actually. They're missing a lot of context.
We do put on a performance here, I would say.
We put on a phenomenal show. Some would say the best show on earth.
We don't even like each other outside
of
this podcast.
So. The greatest showman.
The greatest show on earth. The greatest talent show.
Every week we put on
consummate
the greatest
professionals.
Talent show you have ever seen. So we're going to be on the Poison Rana Live show next Wednesday, the 17th.
Oh my God.
We'll be on from 3:30 to 3:40 Eastern time. I think we'll be sharing, I don't know, something about our life in wrestling this year. You know what? You shouldn't know now.
Oh my God.
Can you guys find out?
Can you guys ask Martin what he thinks your worst personality flaws are?
Yeah, maybe we will.
That'd be a great topic because I think he's going to make us talk about our favorite moments from AEW this year, which I just remembered and was like, oh God, I got to remember some stuff
Martin
that happened.
Says to us, he's like, okay, girls, as I asked, like, I hope you prepared your favorite moment in AEW for the year. And we calmly say, thank you so much, Martin. Yes, you did ask for that. But instead, we'd like to ask you.
We actually have a request in turn.
What each of our worst personality flaw is. Thank you. Please answer now. You only have 10 minutes. So get talking.
Martin, can you diagnose me with an attachment disorder?
I don't need it. I've diagnosed myself. I know about my attachment disorder.
She's like, that's old ground. Give me new ground.
I don't need Martin for that. Sorry, Martin. No offense. I've just covered it. I've got to get on my CBT workbook this year. I said 2 years ago, I said I was going to complete a CBT workbook, which in my mind meant I would be healed, but I didn't do it. But I have the workbook.
Well, maybe when our Patreon listeners review your CBT worksheets, they can give you some really good feedback.
Yeah, for $100 a month on our medical Patreon, I will host a live Zoom session once a month. It's on Twitch. You guys can come in and work through one of my CBT exercises with me. Wow. Doesn't that sound fun?
Yeah.
Sounds great. I think you should do this too because producer Marjorie once was doing her CBT worksheets and it made her send me a compliment, which I really liked. So.
And so I wonder if you might get a similar.
I would just love to see if you came up with any compliments for me as part of your therapy exercises. Just something to think about.
I compliment you every week because I'm such a good game and giving host of this podcast.
That's true. And that's something that I really appreciate about you is what a good host you are.
And I appreciate how good you are at preparing for this podcast. And you know what else I appreciate? I appreciate that when I cut to you, you rarely look like I just shot you in the chest with a gun.
See, that feels less like a compliment for me and more like a dig at someone else.
Potato, 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 potato. I'm just kidding, Leah. I love when you look at me like a deer in headlights. It does make me feel powerful. It's like I could do that to you at any moment.
Easily.
It would be funny to just do it about things. You'd be like, Leah, you had such a good insight about this. Do you want to share it about things that she hadn't brought up any insights?
It would be so easy to gaslight me to be like, Leah, you said something in the schedule. And I'd be like, oh, fuck, I can't believe I did that.
I know. Well, and you know why I know? Because if I weren't in the position of being me, if I were you, whoever was being me could do the same thing, if that makes sense, if that framing makes sense, you know, it could happen to me.
Could happen should to any of us.
Guys, should we talk wrestling?
25 minutes in.
Because it's 9:30 already.
We're 25 minutes in.
Well, you can cut any of that at your discretion, Leah. It's just all just warm up. Just ma. I'm worried there might be quite a bit here, actually. So,
oh no, I don't want you to hear that.
Well, I don't want to hear it either, and I'm the one who typed it. Oh, is this even the right? Yeah, it is the right segment. Okay, Swerve got an in-ring promo on Collision, in which he paced around the ring, putting his big, huge, enormous new body on display. Leah, you had something to say about this.
I am so incredibly horned out for Swerve Strickland's new body. The whole time he was wrestling in those tights, I kept being like, look at his ass. I think it should be illegal that I don't get to sink my teeth into it.
Oh, my God. And that might be the most perverted thing that's been said in recent memory. It is huge.
It's really. His whole body has just gotten so massive. And not in a scary muscle way. In the way that I'm like... He can bench press a car, but in such a like cool way.
He got so big, but he's not terrifying. He doesn't have Brian Cage. He's not vascular. He doesn't look like he'd be uncomfortable to like lean your head
to
on.
To hold
you know?
And lean on. Yeah. I want the male species to pay attention to this because it's like you all want to talk about how they get the bodies. I don't know what they're doing to get these bodies, okay? What I know is that the body I like to see a man get is one like this where I don't see a vein and I don't see a ton of big old, like, their bulgy muscles. I just see, like, it's like, wow, you look big and thick and soft, too. That's what I like to see. Yeah. And it's not a crime to say that.
No.
No, it's not.
Since being a wrestling fan, of how often men say of other men's bodies, like, oh, he's got a great look.
Yeah.
What are they getting at, you know? Or what do they think they're getting at?
What do they mean by that? It is true. It's like, what do you, like, you know what? Because of the whiskey, I don't know if I can unpack all that right now. So let's move on. Leah said what she had to say. She loves the big body. She wants to take a big old bite out of it. I agree. Yeah. It looks biteable. Beautiful.
It's a good body.
Beautiful man. He kind of got into a little bit about why he cares about fighting Joe, kind of because he was pointing out that he won his title off of Joe, which honestly, I have forgotten that whole sequence of who did what to whomst at that time. But that when he said it, I was like, yeah, I guess I think I at one point thought that Joe had gotten it off of him. That wasn't right because he got it off of Joe. And I know that. That's fine.
Yeah.
And he addressed, he was like, Hangman, you know, we have this whole relationship, but he said, he kind of was just like, I think we have to fight these guys together. So why don't you come fight these guys with me? And then he said, after that, you and I are going to have to sit down and have a very serious conversation.
I hope so.
A, yeah, I hope so. B, after that, why are we, why after? Why not before?
I do think it's sexy. It's incredibly sexy to be like, this is a temporary truce and it's going to end so fast. And it's like, okay, you're getting married.
It's very sexy to say that, but then in the same breath to be like, and we're going to therapy afterwards.
It was very like, we're going to have sex and then we're going to talk about what our relationship is.
Okay. It was kind of like, I just got back. I'm so fucking horny to fight with you. We have to fight together. And then, yeah, after that, we can talk about it, what it means. It's like, that's never a good idea, but it does make for a great narrative. So, yes, I endorse it.
So it's like, one time only to get it out of our systems. It's like,
that'll
yeah, sure.
That'll work for sure. So he gets interrupted. I mean, classic. The old cockbot comes on in. Josh Alexander.
It's always Josh Alexander. It's always Josh Alexander. Why?
It does literally feel like Tony has a spray bottle and his name is Josh Alexander. Like, they're just like, these girls won't stop.
Yeah. I think it's paternalistic of Tony to be like, I don't want them getting too worked up. It's like, who are you to say how worked up I should get?
Yeah. I like the idea of Tony backstage has some kind of meter that's attached to, like, our heart rates or something. And he's, like, into his, like, little gorilla bike. He was like, the levels are getting too high. Send in Josh.
Send in Josh.
It's like at political debates when they have, like, focus groups that, like, turn their dials on how much they like things. And they have the different demographics. Like, Tony's got a room full of women turning their dials up. He's like, oh, my God, Josh Alexander, quick.
Just imagine him writhing. He's like, I hate this. I hate this. They're so horny right now. I hate this. Cool them down, please.
Unsafe levels. Unsafe. And the person it's unsafe for is Tony Khan.
Is Tony Khan, yeah. He's like, I won't survive this. Josh, please save me. I won't survive this. Josh Alexander, I have a new thing where, did you guys ever watch the movie Rockadoodle?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, I loved Rockadoodle growing up. It is. I think it might be a pretty bad film. I'm totally not sure.
I think it might be too, but I think we watched it like at least once a week when I was a kid.
I was obsessed with it because of two scenes. One, they all get trapped in like a box that's going over, like it's in the sewers. It's all sewer related with me. That makes you think. They're trapped in this box. It's going through these flooded sewers. And there's a woodpecker who's like freaking out. And he starts like pecking holes in the box. And they keep being like, stop pecking holes in the box. You're letting the water come in. And he just keeps going, trap, trap, trap like rats. And I say it all the time in that tone. Like to me, I'm like, we're in Rockadoodle right now. Trap like rats. Anyway, the other thing is that at the end of this, the villain of the film is this really large, evil owl who doesn't want the rooster ever to crow again because the owl likes for it to be nighttime. And when the rooster crows, and the rooster is Elvis, that brings the sun up. Aww. So he has an evil scheme that he's concocted. And then they foil the scheme, and somehow they turn the big old owl to the size of a teeny little mouse. And he has this high little voice, and he's being like, I'm so evil. Don't you hold me like that. And when I see Josh Alexander, that's what plays in my head. It's just the little owl being held up by the scruff of its neck, squeaking. And is that how he sounds? No. So you might say, like, why are you saying this? Because it's what I think when I see him.
Honestly, when he was talking, I was like, who the hell is this? Because you, like, heard him for a while before you saw him. And then he kept talking. And I was like, is that a fucking Canadian accent? And I looked it up and he was Canadian. I was like, for some reason, I was furious.
It's a shame he's bringing on his countrymen.
Exactly.
And anyway, he wants to fight Swerve, and he had a really confusing argument where he was like, I deserve to be fighting for the championship, not you, and you should be mad at Okada because Okada is the one who took you out in the first place, but you're not, So let's.
He's mad at Joe because he's in love with Hangman. It's very clear.
What right. The... It's like it has nothing to do with Joe, and we all know that. But something yeah. about it did make me be like, Josh Alexander, does your mother know that you're out? Are you literally allowed to be here? Like, it can't be a normal. Like, Swerve comes back, he's the biggest man in the world. And you come out and you're like, hey, look over here. You should be fighting the Don Callis family. You're fighting Samoa Joe. I was like, does Don Callis know you're here? Because he actually has enough problems without you adding to them in this way.
It's crazy. Don Callis family just trying to recruit feuds with cool people.
Doesn't make any sense. Anyway, that's probably all that happened, pretty much. And then he got Shibata hit him. And he was like, Hangman, let's fight together. Okay. So then Hangman...
Swerve at one point did get fed up with Josh Alexander's nonsense, and he was like... what do you want? Which I thought was really funny. And the Josh Alexander was like, a title shot. It's like, Swerve doesn't have the title, you dumbass.
Like, I'm like, I'm not even convinced that we don't even know actually if Swerve is in line for a title shot. I mean, we don't know why anyone's in line for a title shot. Haven't heard Samoa Joe mention the old panel again the this committee. Time around.
Yeah.
No, apparently we've really retired. The best idea anyone's ever had.
You'd think he'd want to install a bunch of incel cronies on his panel and then rename it something like the Panel of War. That's what I've noticed that men of his ilk like to do.
Panel of War would be so funny. If they started doing like a deliberate satire like that...
It'd be really funny. They won't do it.
And then Samoa Joe's just yelling at his incels about how no one's allowed to have a beard and they all need to be in tip-top shape. While they all sit in silence and don't clap. Good stuff.
That would be great. Okay, so then Hangman and Swerve did team up to fight Hobbs and Shibata on Dynamite. The match didn't get a chance to start before it's spilling into their... They're beating each other up the aisles, and they're going to the concession stand, and Hobbs is pouring beer on Hangman, and they're putting people through tables, all the stuff. You know the deal. And then they kind of saunter back to the ring, and they start the normal. It's a tornado tag. That means everybody can do anything they fucking want, I think. Hobbs and... Oh, I don't have to read that part. That was just about the language of wrestling. Don't worry about that. Mid-match moment. This didn't even get recapped, which I think is like... I don't know what to call it. Is it sexism? Is it homophobia? Is it just like generically problematic?
Let's call it sexism. I think that's the funniest option.
Let's call it sexism. They didn't even recap the part of this match where Swerve and Hangman are fighting back-to-back, which is the sexiest thing two men can do, especially when they don't like each other.
Yeah, and they're not looking at each other. They're just kind of accidentally touching
backs and kind of fighting in sync. And then they did a bunch of, like, really cool collaborative moves. And they haven't talked to each other. So in kayfabe, you kind of have to assume, like, they're just, like, Jaeger bonded or whatever. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like you just work that way.
Yeah. It's crazy because... Like, even when they were doing the in-sync moves, they didn't seem to look at each other. So it was just like, they're using echolocation.
They're using their bats. Oh. One of the sexiest animals. Leah, do you have your PowerPoint? Yeah. Leah, did you prepare your deck?
Wow, yeah. Really looking forward to getting into the sexiest animals.
That's for a different Patreon.
We got a few.
Oh, our only Patreon. Hard to know where I was here. Anyway, but then, so they're doing all these in-sync moves, and then there's this move where it's like, Swerve has like rolled to his knees, and then he's like looking up at Hangman, and then they, for the first time, seem to be like, we're in the ring together, and we're fighting on a team. And so he stands up, and then they're eye to eye, and Tony Schiavone said, or it was maybe Tony or Excalibur said, so much meaning in those eyes and those stares from either man. So much.
So much.
Yeah, so much.
The kind of eloquence you're looking for. This was so sexy with their heaving bosoms and their insane faces and just staring at each other. I was like, nothing sexy has happened in wrestling since All In until now.
Yeah. They were so incredibly locked into each other. Like, the way that they were like mesmerized, I was like, unbelievable. I haven't been that thrilled in months.
Yeah. It woke me up. I said the line. You all know, of course, what I said. I said, looks like meat's back on the menu. And I stood up and I put my poster board in front of the TV.
not for our eyes. That's what Tony Khan should be doing instead of sending Josh Alexander out there.
Tony Khan, if you want to cool me down, you come into my house and you hold a poster board in front of my TV. I'm going to dehorn for nothing less. Anyway, and so they had this long look and it's kind of like, wow, what is going through their minds? And then it's like they just agreed. They were like, well, we have to keep doing the match. And they slid out of the ring in perfect tandem and put Hobbs through a table together and then Swerve pinned Shibata. And it was just like, boom, baby.
Yeah.
No.
Really fucking good. And then just as you're on the verge of who knows what, who comes along?
She was like, smash cut to Josh Alexander's face. Like, okay, yeah.
That little naked laboo.
Not an eyebrow hair to be seen.
Tony is on his fainting couch. He's like, I am going to die. Josh, get out there.
Josh, they're not supposed to be that horny, Josh.
Josh, their psychic energy is literally killing me right now. Anyway, Leah, you did have something you wanted to talk about. Maybe you already said it. It's about tag match eroticism. I think I will have, quote, much to say about eroticism in the negative spaces, which sounds really intelligent.
Yeah.
Take it away.
The woman who wrote that at 10 a.m. is in a different country. No, we
Leah didn't doesn't live here anymore.
She's gone. She's still at that restaurant with the bottomless wine.
I'm still at the restaurant. Taylor?
No, I did. I mean, I did say it. The fact that, like, the whole match, they barely looked at each other and didn't acknowledge each other at all. And yet, it was sexier than if, like, you know, they were making out. You know what I mean? Like, I, like, get really charged up by the way they're managing to work together side by side. And yet, I'm, like, holding my breath being like, oh, my God. Oh, that fucking one moment where Hangman, like, what was he doing? And he reached out and he grabbed Swerve's, like, shirt and, like, clenched a second. And I was like, I'm going to lose my fucking shit. I'm going to lose it.
It's crazy. It really was, like, all, like, hand clench, Pride and Prejudice level eroticism. Like,
I just imagined. I'm so sorry. You're completely right. But your tone as you were saying that, suddenly I was like, if Tony is tortured by what we think while we're watching his show, what happens to him while we record our podcast? And so I'm just imagining him in his normal life. He's like trying to like talk to the manager of the Jacksonville Jags or something. And he's just like, my head, I'm dying. And he's like calling like, Josh Alexander, I need you.
He's like, every night from 8 to 10 Eastern on Thursdays, I can't function at all.
The meters are going off like crazy. There's sirens.
He's like, Josh, please, you have to enter their Zoom. Josh is like, I can't get into their Zoom.
And like, Tony Khan just has like an ET-like connection to us. He's like...
Tony, eat a Reese's Pieces and calm down, okay? Everything's going to be fine.
Tony, feelings of eroticism, they're natural, they're part of life, they're beautiful.
They happen to all of us. They're beautiful. Just put a poster board up over your brain and truck on. You're right, though. You're right. It was affecting. It was affecting.
It was affecting. So true.
So let's move on. Eddie got a promo on Collision. At the time I said that I still have to watch, but then I easily did watch it, and actually I did really like this promo.
It was much better than his last ones, I thought. Like, it wasn't groundbreaking, but it was, like, a good Eddie promo, I thought.
Let me read a line that really spoke to me. Joe, you are disgusting now. So good. And then he was kind of talking about, like, I'm worried about these young guys. They're learning all the wrong stuff. And he said to them, don't be snakes, don't be rats. And I was dreaming too big, I know, but I said, God, you know who else has been talking about the young guys a lot and did kind of a bad job with them this year, in a good way? John Moxley. Interesting. What if we brought those narratives back together?
Yeah, that'd be enjoyable. I mean, Renee was interviewing him and he didn't even flirt with her. I was like, what is the point of life?
I'm sick. Josh Alexander, you have to intervene.
He probably Josh did intervene.
Yeah, he was that's rubbing probably himself all over happen. Eddie.
Yeah, yeah.
He was just off screen being like, no funny business.
Don't you dare say sis to her. It's,
no.
The girls will be through
don't
the
you,
roof.
Don't you say anything about our husband. I don't want to hear it. Josh Alexander, you are such a problem. He should be called the problem. Okay, Eddie. And then Samoa Joe also got a backstage promo on Dynamite that I don't remember anything about, except I don't think any of us enjoyed it. He was kind of like, maybe I used to be that man you loved, but now I'm a different man. Something like that?
Yeah.
Sounds like that.
It was like fine. It was kind of nothing, but.
And then he and Eddie fought in the main event on Dynamite and Samoa Joe won. And, you know, you kind of knew he would win. And you thought, like, it would really thrill me if he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But he did.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else about that? What do you want?
I did think while this match was happening, there were a lot of tweets on screen, which we've talked about before, but I do think it would be kind of a funny bit if the Tunnel Talk account started just tweeting bootlicker things all night, like trying to get on Dynamite, like just being like, Eddie versus Samoa Joe is what AEW is all about.
Yeah. I wish we lived in a world where the way that tweets, the way the whole thing worked is like you could edit a tweet and it would change in live time on Dynamite. So you could play a long game where it's like, I just have to get the tweet up there. And then if I notice fast enough, I can change it to say something so repulsive that Tony will never recover from the psychic damage. But that's not how this horrible world of ours works. Hangman also, so he lost, whatever. Hangman also talked to Renee backstage and he said, I'll be watching Eddie and Joe tonight and regardless of who wins, I'll be coming for them and the world championship at World's End. What's happening at that show, you know?
Yeah, so he's gonna, I think they're saying it's gonna be like a multi-man with Hangman and Joe and Swerve and somebody else.
Is Joe gonna lose?
I don't know. I actually feel like I've seen people implying that he is going to lose, although not to someone I'll be annoyed about, but I haven't looked into it any further. Oh, you think maybe
somebody else will be returning?
Yeah.
I don't understand the storyline, if I'm honest.
No, it seems pointless.
Yeah. I'm having trouble with it. Like, I don't know. Like, it's not even that I'm mad at Joe right now. I'm just bored out of my mind.
How dare you say that to me?
I'm having a lot of trouble connecting to Eddie right now. And so then it's just sort of like, well, like, I guess if you're going to put Hangman and Swerve into this, like, it can only make that part of it better. But at the same time, I'm like, I'd rather watch them do their own adventures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Well, and it is like Samoa Joe is like, it's just not a sexy feud. So you end up with Eddie talking about like Terry Funk and other wrestling nerd stuff that I don't care about at all. I'm just like, why are we doing this?
Anne's tone in her notes, I said, was like that one time that Leah out of nowhere just went, I'm done with Roddy. That was Anne's tone about this. She just goes, I've had it. No thanks.
Not interested.
I was losing it, Anne, that you titled part of your notes Eddie versus Samoa ass, and I just pictured you last night typing it going, got him.
I don't even remember doing that. It's just
got his ass.
Take that, Samoa Joe.
So funny.
Samoa ass.
I'm worried that about the degree to which AEW programming right now, it's not even that I'm not having fun. There is something I'm having fun with, but I'm like, I think it is dealing me psychic damage that I'm not even registering in the moment. But it's like, look at how I'm talking.
Yeah. I know.
I don't know what's happening on the show. I don't know why Joe has this belt. I don't understand who he's going to lose it to. I don't even have any ideas about it. Even in that Eddie promo I liked, I kept thinking like, Eddie, I think this is a really good promo. You actually do sound like you're about to cry. Are you okay? So, anyway.
I mean, it's hard to be okay when Josh Alexander's just off camera, like staring at you.
Yeah. Josh Alexander was there pointing his face at him. So that would make anybody cry. I'm sorry, Josh. I'm sure you're a nice man.
Yeah.
I just hate when I see you. And I hate that you exist. I'm sorry.
You shouldn't be a person. No offense.
You should be a little owl that used to be a big owl, but now you're the size of a mouse. And you shouldn't be able to impact whether or not the sun comes up. I'm sorry. It's just too much power for any one person. And Tony, you can just have a migraine for between 2 and 10 hours a week.
Yeah. Do it for us.
Do it for us. The Babes of Wrath and the Timeless Love Bombs had a sit-down segment with Tony Schiavone on last week's Collision. Mina distributed champagne to everybody, which I thought was very civilized. Tony was sitting so demurely. And I have to say it, and I think I can say it, because I'm a WLW, everyone's boobs looked insane. Everyone's boobs looked so fucking good. I would never let a man say it.
No, men need to at most say charisma.
Yeah. And even then, you're pushing.
Even then, right on the line.
One part of that sit down that I fucking lost it about was Tony said something deranged about him, her and Mina. I don't even remember because it was like, it was insane. And Willow was like, you know what? Harley and I like each other a lot, too. We like have a lot of fun together. You're not the only ones who have a relationship. And I was like, Willow, I love you so much. I would kiss you on your face if you would let me. But I know that you won't because you're so painfully straight. And that's okay. That's okay. But in that moment, she was like, straight can be interesting, too.
When she said, I support whatever goes on in your personal life, like, yeah. For some reason, that's just, like, the funniest thing you could possibly say.
It was just like, Willow, I'm so sorry. That's not ally talk.
It isn't.
It's like, whatever you have going on with Harley, I know it's fun. I know you guys are having a blast. It can't touch what's going on with
certainly not.
They have a different thing.
And I think, honestly, I say it lovingly, is there a little tone of, like, I tolerate it in there, you know?
You like whatever
it,
you do,
I celebrate it.
Behind closed doors is fine. Yeah.
She's a little bit like, stop making me look at it in the ring. And you're like, well, you know what?
Are we starting a rumor that Willow and Excalibur are both homophobic bullies?
Damn it, we're at it again. I don't think that's true. Willow, you seem like a wonderful.
Willow's a nice girl.
I think you celebrate. Yeah, I think you are an ally. But I don't think in that moment.
It wasn't the most ally thing you could say.
It did kind of sound like it's like someone was like, I love my wife of 20 years. And you were like, well, I love my friends too. Okay, well, that's not what we're talking about, actually. Just not what we're talking about. How did she? I have the quote here. I met this eight. She goes, I support whatever goes on in your personal life, but I don't know what it has to do with what goes on in the ring. That is, it is Karen talk. You want to trade personal stories? I met this angel of a woman 3 years ago. We were just two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl. The last few years haven't been perfect, but I put my head down and focused on what I love. And you know who does the same thing? And then Harley. Everything that was happening here actually was a little like, what's going on? Harley smiled this demure, the good wife smile and put a hand on Willow's shoulder. And immediately I was just like, okay, Alicia, like I get it. You're standing by your man.
Willow actually cheated on her publicly, but you know. Honestly, the sit down was like really top tier because it was there were a lot of weird things going on, and I just wish that JR had been there to kind of, like, elevate you know?
Because Tony did seem kind of like, his vibe was a little bit like, now what is my role here? Which is a fair question.
I can't think of a better place for JR to be than between two sets of women who are arguing over whose relationship is more powerful.
He wouldn't know what to do.
JR's just on the verge of being like, now, any of you gals got a man at home? Any of you lucky ladies got a lucky fella you'd like to talk about?
Any of you Jezebels? Tony?
Jezebel. I'll be honest, I miss him. I know.
It's Justin. Crazy. It's crazy how Stockholm you can get for really anybody.
Maybe we should have more empathy in our hearts for what ROH did to the men. But no, I won't. Probably won't.
I don't think we need to extend empathy that far, but we do need to be concerned about how we'll feel about Josh Alexander in 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, even when I started talking about him in Rockadoodle, I'm worried that just by saying it, I started liking him a little bit.
Honestly, yeah, when you cast him as a tiny, high-pitched owl voice, like, well.
And when you start thinking about the idea that, let's just go there. When you start thinking about the idea that Don Callis has not given him permission to do anything he's doing, and he's just like, I don't get any attention at home. Dad is always so busy talking about his studs, and he never wants to talk about me.
It's like, everyone knows I'm the opposite of a stud. I'm the blocker. You send me in to stop sex from happening.
But suddenly he doesn't even seem to think that's valuable. Now what's happening here?
I don't know.
Talking about the women.
JR, how much we love JR.
JR. Well, I thought this was
also
a great
segment. I said in 3 years we might like Josh Alexander, and then I got concerned that we'll still be watching wrestling and doing this podcast in 3 years, but we probably will be. So
my eyes are so big and scared. I've got to have another sip of my drink. Anyway, they're just fighting back and forth, and then eventually Mina's just like, girls, let's just deal with it in the ring, and right now, let's just get fucking blitzed. She did not say that, but she was kind of like, I poured you the champagne for a reason, so can we all just raise a glass and just, like, toss it back? And they did do that. And then they opened this week's Did you not think that was good?
No, that was great. Why did you think I didn't?
I'm scared I'm doing a bad job, so I'm projecting onto my co-host.
No, I'm the one who's doing a bad job because I didn't read the schedule because I cruised in late. So it was very funny for me to be like, one thing I liked about this, and then for you to be like, yes, I have the quote and a full description.
You're doing amazing. I'm doing my best, and you're doing amazing.
Allie, you're doing amazing.
Oh, thank you. I would say that probably in the power rankings, and I think you might be number one right now.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
I'm shocked that we haven't brought the power rankings from our appearance on Library Pizza over here sooner, actually.
It was so fun to just be like, where are we at power-wise?
Yeah.
Who wants it?
Let's do a little check-in.
But I felt so safe on Library Pizza. Like, I can't describe how thrilled I was to repeatedly say, I'm last. I'm fourth. I'm the least powerful.
You're always, like, a little too powerful for your own comfort on this podcast.
I know, because I know that if I do a bad... I worry. I'm like, if I'm doing a bad job, I'm bringing my girls down. I want to make my girls shine. I want to make my studs shine.
You do every week. This stud mansion that we're all in, I think it's going amazing in here.
You provide the juiciest hams.
Thank you, because you know I get them from the co-op.
So yeah.
They're organic, farm fresh, pasture raised, ethically treated organic hams for you to do anything you want with.
Before they're hams, after they're hams, who knows?
Some of you encouraged us a little too much last week. I will say that. I think that we should all be circumspect about when you hear things on this podcast, like ask, like, should I tell them it was okay to do that? Like, is it now safe for them to hear it's okay to do that?
Now we're just casually calling the Don Callis family the ham fuckers when they walk out on screen.
Don't worry, you'll hear a quote about that later. Okay, so then the girls open Dynamite with the final match of the women's tag title tournament. Do you want to talk briefly Tony and Mina's looks and entrance?
Oh, yeah. They were wearing – it basically just looked like a bra and panties lingerie, and Tony was in white and Mina was in black. And
it was like velour. Chenille. I don't know what the fabric is, but it had that – a little kind of a glint to it.
I love when it has a little bit of a glint to it. A little stretch, even better.
They go together. And then also coordination from Babes of Wrath, which is great. They have the match. It's a very fun match. You really don't know who's going to win. I mean, like, because I kept saying to myself, I was like, well, I think Tony and Mina will win. Mm-hmm. Like, I think probably, like, that makes, I can see why that would happen. That makes the most sense. And then I kept thinking, like, but on the other hand, I don't know if that's what's going to happen. And it isn't what happened.
It isn't.
No. It isn't. It was crazy. I was so pleasantly shocked.
I was not expecting it.
A little zag. And, like, I think I'd probably prefer it. I don't even know. But Harley got so emotional after. I was, like, tearing up myself, which was crazy.
I liked it.
Yeah. It was very sweet. I'm continuing to have a problem, especially after watching the Collision sit down, where again, I was like, it's the good wife. That's Peter Florick. Willow is somehow Peter Florick right now, so I'm a little confused. And then Willow gave this little speech in the ring where she was like, that was a hard fight. Like, I'm proud of myself and I'm proud of Harley Cameron. It's been a rough year of knowing who's there for me and who's not, but she is so great and she has been in here, in the ring, and out. And I thought, she's going to murder her. And then I thought, no, she's not going to murder her. That's not what's happening. I don't exactly know. I don't know how much of it is my wrestling damage. I don't know if there's something about the intonation that Willow is using. I don't know if it's just the fact that they really haven't been a tag team for that long, so they are laying it on a little thick to be like, this is a real loving friendship. But I cannot stop being like, she's going to kill her. You are not long for this world, Harley. I hope you enjoy your last moments, because she is going to take you out. It's not what's happening.
Heel Willow against Face Chris is so funny to me that I kind of wish that I could be part of the planning, because it's just so funny.
It is like, wow, watching Willow try to be heel is very like, could she ever pull it off? I would love to watch
for
the
attempt.
For me,
in this moment, I'm like, yes, she could, because it's just about still being really positive seeming, but just saying stuff that's like a little, it's like that tone of like, oh, I'm a little scared when you say it that way, but it's nice. Is it nice?
Anyway, yeah, the little air of menace.
It's not what's happening. This is a personal issue. And don't worry. Once you join the Patreon at the $100 tier and we're working through my CBT workbook together, we're going to get to the bottom of where this is coming from for me. And we're going to start helping me to overcome it. Yeah, and it's going to be a really productive winner for all of us. For all of
You're going to be able to watch any YouTube couple and not worry that they're about to break up.
That would be so restful, wouldn't it?
It would. Might take a little frisson out of things, but, you know.
I know. I think it would feel good,
honestly. You think it would feel good?
I think it would feel good.
That's exciting. It's good to have a winner goal, you know?
Yeah. Well, you guys will hear all about it on the medical Patreon. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and then Tony and Mina displayed really good sportswomanship, and they embraced the winners, and they're all posing. And again, nobody is turning heel. They are all, like, really great girls, and they did a wonderful job, and I would have been happy with any of them being the tag team champs. And
I was a little surprised at all the good sportsmanship, honestly. Like, I didn't really expect, like, all the hugging stuff. It was nice, though.
I liked it. I like when... Women supporting women. Am I right?
Women supporting women.
Women supporting women.
There's a special place in hell for women who don't support other women.
Oh my God. Okay. And then one brief additional women's update. Mercedes lost her ROH Women's TV Championship belt to Red Velvet last week and afterwards hissed like a really mean cat at poor Lexi Nair. Who was just trying to interview her and be like, you feeling okay? Because, you know, maybe we have kind of one less title now. And Mercedes was like, don't ever talk about my titles. I've got plenty of titles. I have 12 whole titles and I'm fine. And I think I'm the best title holder in the world. And I'm fine. I've been fine this whole time. And I'm doing amazing.
Her crash out. Like. It has been so fun watching her just like slowly become unhinged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did miss, did you guys watch this clip from where she fought Layla Gray on Collision?
Yeah.
I did watch it, but I don't remember anything about
it. I watched most of the Collision clips, but I missed this one. It says, from the recap I have, she held on after the bell rang, so Daniels came in to stop it. Christopher?
Yeah, because he's managing Top Flight, which she's associated with.
You're right. Okay, yeah, okay. So Veep comes in to stop it. She let go. Monet kicked Daniels low. In the moneymaker. And then
the moneymaker?
What are you suggesting that Christopher Daniels does for work?
As Don Callis would put it.
There you go.
Somehow I found that so disrespectful that like I was like, Allie,
he's a professional. He's a vice president.
He's trying to get his pension, Allie.
He doesn't make money from his testes.
Although a lot of high school teachers have to have second jobs, so vice principals might also.
A lot of high school teachers have to have sex. We have to stop. I could not summon the term yambag region.
Taz has been gone for so long.
Oh my gosh. Well, I have to admit, I miss Taz, but also I'm like, Taz, when you come back, you cannot be starting those fights on commentary.
I know. Yeah. It's really stressful.
You really can't. It wasn't good for girls. And I would have to be charging our high tier Patreon members double and doing double CBT sessions to do it.
We're just on our medical Patreon working through how Taz's conflict with Tony Schiavone makes us feel and how it relates to our parents' relationships.
I'm like, sometimes he's really passive aggressive. And I have to be honest, that triggers stuff for me. He's actually not that passive aggressive. He's pretty aggressive.
It's fairly aggressive.
Well, you know what? You guys haven't paid for this, so I'm not going to keep working through it right now.
You're not giving away the moneymaker for free.
Certainly not. If you want the milk from my moneymaker, you're going to pay $100 to $200 a month.
The milk from my moneymaker.
Do you ever borderline think our podcast should be illegal?
Yeah. I don't
think that right,
most of what we say should go out there. And I'm pretty worried about, I don't know how long we've been here. Let me take a check at that.
An hour.
Oh, an hour? Great. And I don't think we should have said most of what we said. And I'm worried about what I said at the beginning. And I don't feel good.
What we said at the beginning was mostly about television shows. It's totally fine.
I guess that worries me most of all, because I'm like, that's something I should be able to be smart about. But what did I say? You know? I don't even know. I don't know. And I couldn't get into the smoothie stuff to the degree that would make it clear that I have intelligent thoughts.
It's really unfortunate that we got used to podcasting when we had so few listeners. And we did it for like a year, year and a half, 2 years.
I know.
And then we can't stop being the way we are.
No, well,
but
we couldn't anyway.
People are listening now. No, we have, anyway. That's true.
We don't have mutable personalities. I'll say that.
No, that's one thing. Hey, put that on our list.
Immutable.
Immutable personality. What's my biggest personality, y'all? Immutable personality. Can't be changed.
Although we can. Change our minds.
But even when my mind changes, my personality doesn't. So it's like, whether the opinion is, you know, I have a little plaque that I got at an estate sale that I framed and hung up on my wall. And it says, whether I'm right or wrong, I'm still the captain. And that is how I feel about it. It's like, whether I'm right or wrong, it's still my personality. You know, like.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Wherever you go, write this. Guys, get out your Tunnel Talk Wit and Wisdom notebooks. Wherever you go. There you are.
There you are.
Is this a safe space for me to tell you something?
Yeah.
When you said an immutable personality, I thought you said unmutable. And I was like, that's right. We're can't shut us up.
They're both right. Immutable and unmutable.
Yeah.
That's right. Wow. And some of you might be thinking, like, I've muted you.
I'm thinking this would be a great time to find a different podcast.
You're like, you know how I could mute you? By turning this off. I don't have to be here. You really don't, because I don't know if anything smart's going to be said. And I warned you of that at the beginning. I actually did warn you of that, so you can't
say
that.
We are all buzzed for sure. Like,
we're buzzed.
Feeling pretty loose.
If you could see our faces right now, it's pink in here. So we're all looking
pretty pink.
Warm. It's pretty pink, yeah.
And mentally, we're on vacation. I'm leaving town next Thursday, which is so soon, and I'm not ready. And I'm
Christmas
really
is in
scared.
2 weeks, 2 weeks from today. It's crazy.
And I'm frightened.
Where did 2025 go?
One of my worst years, I think. But let's save that for the medical Patreon. The Connie marches on. Wow.
On the medical Patreon, let's rank our years from best to worst. Just kidding.
Unless. The Connie marches on. It is put in a bunch of, rough talk. No. When you're being mean to people, you know.
Shit talk.
Just rough included a bunch talk. Of
Let's
rough
get into
talk.
Some rough talk, girls.
That's the language of a girl who holds up poster boards when she's stressed out by sexy.
Yeah, I can't be hearing this rough talk.
I'm so sorry. I have to focus. I have to be strong. I have to be strong for my girls. I'm bringing them down. I need a cat of nine tails and I have to self-flagellate.
Remember when you were looking at like artisan hair shirts on the internet?
And it was not the first time you Googled artisan hair shirts.
I can't believe that you're. See, it's like it's not my fault that we can't move on to the Connie right away. I have to clear up a misapprehension. I wasn't Googling artisan hair shirts because of a perversion. It wasn't a kink thing. I just thought, like, what happened to hair shirts? Whatever happened to hair shirts?
Whatever happened. They used to be so in. Then they went the way of the parachute pant.
Anytime I look something up, of course I'm like, what's the best version of the product? I'm not looking for a Shein hair shirt. Like, I want to know, like, what the real freaks are buying.
Yeah.
And I was actually very disappointed in what I found because they are not selling hair shirts anymore, really, because they're making them out of, like, recycled plastic. And that's good for the environment, I suppose. Maybe.
because there's nothing wrong with, I mean, hair is biodegradable.
Our hair shirt's made of hair. It's just, as you're talking, I'm like, it occurs to me that it's very rough, like animal hair.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And you wear it close to the skin to punish yourself for your sins.
Sure.
But I didn't. I just stuck my hand in a candle.
Just to kind of try to dehorn yourself or...
to punish yourselves for your sins.
Speaking of hair shirts.
I have wax on my hand now.
Well, you know when they, like... Europeans discovered the New World, like cotton was here, and they were like, oh my God, clothes that don't hurt you to wear, and like really adopted it.
Why is cotton was here so funny? I'm like, should that be their new slogan? You know, they love to do the touch, the feel, the fabric of your life. One of them was just like, cotton, it was here.
It was here before you were.
Cotton, it predates you. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why the hair shirts thing came up. All I want you to know is that I Googled it out of academic interest, and what I found was academically interesting.
That's I'm gonna honestly cut this. When you say of academic interest, it makes it sound so much worse.
Does it? Why?
Like, because it sounds like you're absolutely covering for something depraved.
Oh, does it? Well,
I'm going to cut this. Anyway, so it's just you going, it's a kink.
No, stop. I want them to know the truth. I guess in some ways I kind of wish that there was like a repulsive reason that I had looked it up. Because I agree it would make more sense than me being like, was Googling hair shirts. And then I thought, like, I should Google artisan hair shirts. I agree. Like, write that down in your notebook about, like, what a problematic personality trait from me. You just think of something and you're like, is an artisan making it?
I love just to think of these Tunnel Talk notebooks that people have, and they're full of like the wisdom of Marcus Aurelius, and then there's like pages like towards the back that just have each of our names on it, and then like bad personality traits, and they're like immutable hair shirts,
immutable, unmutable hair shirts, ? Scared.
Obsession with artisans. Yeah.
Who accused, I don't even know if it was in this part, maybe we're going to get to it, somebody accused someone in the front row of being a furry on this week's Dynamo.
Josh Alexander. he was like, I'm not going to wrestle you in front of these freaks and furries. And I was like,
what's happening?
Is Ohio known for their furries?
And I was like, we respect furries.
They're valued members of the internet community.
I don't know their feelings on hair shirts, but anyway, the Connie March is on. Well, back at it again. Okay, let's start by checking in on the Death Riders. Mox fought Takeshita on Collision. I cannot believe, after all of that, and then I'll read the line, and got his little ass pinned like the pig he is. Oink.
I didn't think you were going to read it. I read that on the schedule, and I actually laughed out loud, and then I was like, this is so embarrassing for both of us. But
and then I said I was embarrassed when I wrote it, but then I read it just now.
Yeah.
Got his.
That's where we're at in this podcast.
It's because he's a pin pig. That's all we're saying. It's not a problem. It's not a kink thing. Poor little baby has a mere 3 points thus far. Well, Takeshita has a big ol' 6. Woof. Fortunately for his continued survival as a cult leader, Claudio also lost his collision mask to Mascara Dorada. Those men are at 6 and 3 points respectively. I was good that I put these points in here.
Yeah. Did you guys see the post?
No.
The promo post Mox and Claudio's match where they just like follow... They follow Claudio backstage, and then the Death Riders are just, like, in a stairwell, and they're all doing push-ups, and then Claudio just gets down and does push-ups, and they, like, do push-ups for a while, and then Mox still has blood all over his face, and then he, like, talks, you know, says some stuff about how they're great, and it was a great match, and, you know, if Claudio wins, all the Death Riders win, and Claudio looked at him and was like, and if Mox wins? I don't know. It was kind of delightful. It was super weird.
That's what Darby was referring to in his collision promo, I guess. Because Darby did a collision. Well, we're going to get to him in a minute, so we'll come back to it. Okay, we did see Mox on Dynamite. He had a stairwell promo. Marina Shafir, Yuta, and Dana Garcia sitting behind him. I think he did do some push-ups in that promo, maybe. And who knows what he was saying? It'd be impossible to recount. Because I was so busy looking at the faces behind him that were just like going back and forth between like, I do still love him. I hate him. I'm going to kill him. When can we kill him? Where's Claudio? We have to kill him already. And I like that. What do you guys think about it? We're slow burning it.
We really are slow burning it, and it sometimes confuses me, but also, like, I do kind of like it. Like, it is enjoyable to watch them all kind of shuffle discontentedly behind Mox.
Yeah. I'm kind of ready
Mox
for
Mox seems
it.
Kind of aware, unaware.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of ready now. I have, like, this week exactly, I've hit the point where I'm like, I could be ready for this to go now. Mm.
I wouldn't mind. I said here, I'm always thinking things while I do the schedule. Mox really should be a big, bad Sunnydale vamp on the verge of getting deposed by his hungry minions who are fed up with him somehow never, ever, ever managing to kill the Slayer. Mm. So I am ready for him to get deposed and then be in his, like, Lone Spike era, where yeah. it's yeah. just like, it's he's like, I'm really dangerous, and everyone's like, we don't take you seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should be chained up in, you know, I guess Josh Alexander's bathroom.
You know, he should have a chip implanted in his head.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be Mox with a chip implanted that makes it impossible for him to kill mm-hmm. would be very funny. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't thrive.
Extremely funny.
He wouldn't thrive. No. In other Death Rider news, Mark Briscoe is set to fight Danny Garcia at Winter is Coming in Cardiff. Why? That's the one thing I'll never tell. There was an in-ring interview. Tony Schiavone interviewed Mark Briscoe and in the ring on Dynamite and was basically just like, lots of you didn't think I'd ever get this belt, but I do have this belt, and when I have a belt, I have a belt, and you can kiss my butt about it. And I said, God.
It is funny because he was like, I have a message for all my doubters. And I was like, it's kind of me because I still don't get him, yeah, I feel like. And then the message was like, you can kiss my big white ass. And I was like, oh, that doesn't make me like you more.
It didn't get through. He was interrupted by Yuta, Danny Garcia, and Marina emerging from the crowd. Yuta was on the mic. He said that Mark Briscoe has fewer teeth than he does children, mm-hmm. and he has the mental capacity of one of the chickens that he farms. And then this is that wouldn't really be noteworthy at all, honestly, except that then Danny Garcia took the mic and said, Yuta, that was a good one. I'm not going to lie. And I have a lot of mean, hurtful things I could say about Mark, too, but I'm not going to because I feel kind of bad for you. And I looked between Danny Garcia and Yuta. And I said, it's so interesting that you two, I guess, sat down and said, we're in a faction now. What should we do? And one of them said, you know what I think we should do? Nothing interesting. And they said, yes, absolutely. Let's mm-hmm. have no interesting relationship at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, they are
we'll
so
be coworkers
good at it.
Being mildly supportive yeah. of one another.
let's deliver lines that have absolutely no tone you can read into whatsoever.
Say, we will give the girls nothing.
That was a good one. I'm not going to lie to you. What? You know what? I guess we'll just see. We'll let them cook.
Oh, yeah. It seems like they're cooking for sure.
Mark Briscoe dared Danny to get into it right then and there. Danny initiated a fight, and then Mark Briscoe slapped back, and Danny seemed really startled. Like, I didn't know that you would fight back. And then Marina and Yuta held him back and wouldn't let him fight anymore, which made me be like, what is... Now, there's three of you and one of him. Like, you could all fight him. What's the problem?
I think you'd probably win.
I think you'd win. And usually I think you would do it. So what's going on here?
Yeah. There's so much in wrestling where you're just like, well... You said a lot of words, or you did something. Doesn't really check out.
Doesn't really check out. But at the beginning of this podcast, I said that character inconsistency is important.
I was thinking about that as I was speaking, which is why I got a little slower.
I think this is different, though, because they always attack. The Death Riders kind of always attack. So I didn't really understand why they were like, Danny, no, this is an honorable fight you're going to have with Mark. You wouldn't want to pregame it.
Yeah.
Might want to. Okay. We found out this week that Darby is shoe injured and he's out of the Connie, which is really difficult for me.
I didn't know that he could be injured. I didn't know that that was a thing that could happen.
I know.
Same. And it's really frightened me. I was relieved that he did cut a promo for Collision. So it's like, he's not dead, which is kind of, I was like, those are the two states to me. I'm like, he's either fine or he's dead. I can't imagine how it could be anything in between.
Mm-hmm.
But he cut this promo, and he was like, I've never been scared, but for the first time in my life when I was fighting you, Kevin Knight, I was scared. And they took me to the hospital, and the doctors say I can't be in this competition anymore. And that's fine. That is what it is. And he said, if you want to save Darby from Darby, that's fine. I don't give a shit. I hear Jack Perry's taking my spot. We've never seen eye to eye. But if you're taking my spot, go on, win the whole thing. Crazy energy from this guy. I hope you do. As for Darby, Darby, stop talking about yourself. Did you get this from Kevin? Is it communicable? As for Darby, I don't know. I don't know. And then he kind of waved at the camera and left. And I was like, this is the most mentally unwell I've ever seen you. I'm troubled.
Yeah.
And yet I'm missing that energy more and more because everybody else in the Connie is pretty mentally well balanced.
I was sickened. Leah, you really nicely cruised into our shared space this week and you were like, here's the Connie promo video. And I was so excited. Like it felt like when you get a package in the mail. Like I was like, wow, this is going to bring joy. Thank you, Leah. You're so good. And you were so good. It was good of you to do it. But then I clicked through and I watched the three promos that had been three mere promos that had been gathered for my enjoyment, and not one of them was deranged.
No, not even Kyle Fletcher, who had his second big loss. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he lost his belt and now he lost, I think that's his first loss in the Connie. And he was still just like, well, you got to get up the next day and you just keep fighting. And I'm like, oh my God.
He like had his head in his hands, like at the start of that promo in a way where he looked pretty like upset. And I was like, oh, all right. But then he unfortunately gathered himself.
I would like him to get kind of crazy about it and be like, Daddy Don, do you still love me? Even if I don't win, you know?
I would love him to get crazy.
Or, you know, like if he doesn't want to do a solo promo, like just have Don say ominous things, like hurtful.
While he cries.
Yeah. That sounds like a kink thing kind of, but yeah, for sure. I agree. Okay. So now Jack Barry has taken Darby's place in the tournament. So he fought Okada on Dynamite, and something interesting happened in this match. I don't want to steal it. Does anybody want to describe what they saw?
Oh, I'd love to see it. Okada picked him up for a little
pile driver.
Yeah, and he bit Okada in the dick.
Yeah, he did. It was interesting because we've seen it a million times that a man picks another man up upside downsies and positions him for the pile driver, and the head is in the crotch. And we're basically a nerd to it at this point. It's just like, it's kind of funny sometimes where it's like, yeah, once the man's head is in the crotch, there's nothing he can do. He's trapped.
And OC, when he was on Katie Nolan's podcast, like he was describing it. Like she brought up a pile driver and he was like, oh, it's actually like a different name. And she was like, oh, what's the difference? And he was like, well, this one is in. And then he just started snickering. And then he was like, the 69 position. And like every time now it happens, I just hear him like snickering in my head and be like, yeah, 69.
It's a classic position in wrestling, but somehow this was the first time, I guess, that a man thought, it's there and my mouth is here. I know a way that I could deal damage. And so he bit him in the dick. And suddenly I have questions. Why isn't everyone doing this?
Seems like a kind of a classic reversal, you know?
Yeah. It does seem like it should be like everyone should know about the old dick reversal. The dick bite. The bite.
Like we'll hear commentary going, ooh, great counter.
He's a consummate technical wrestler. He knows all the counters to all the moves.
And I want them to call it the cockbite counter. Ooh, and that is smart. He's initiated. What did you say about the waiters?
Initiated
protocol, the cockfight. Anyway, but I guess it was completely new. I loved to see it. Okada did end up winning the match. He's at 6 points. And afterwards, and JB's at zero. Afterwards, Don Callis came over from commentary and he ushered a bunch of his ham fuckers into the ring. So JB was really outnumbered, little Jack Perry. And Don Callis hopped on the mic and he said, you did an amazing job, Jack. You shouldn't be ashamed at all. I've rarely seen someone challenge Okada more than that in recent memory. I respect you a lot. And I want you to come fuck ham in my house. I could really see you fucking ham in my house. I can't believe I was trying to ask the Young Bucks to come fuck ham in my house. I should have been asking you this whole time.
Yeah. Let's get you in a ham today.
This is a classic episode of Are You Being Served? Let's get you in a ham today. And So he says, I'll pay you $1 million to come fuck him in my house. And I'd like an answer right now. And do remember, you're very outnumbered on this stage. And Jack Perry said, well, I have an answer for you. It looks like for the second time tonight, I might bite off a little more than I can chew.
Insane thing to say. Absolute bananas. I think the crowd started chanting, bite his dick, too.
Yes, they did. They did. They did. This is great. All of this is great. I mean, this is what it's all about. Some of you think it's about graps. No, I think it's about the dick biting stuff for sure.
Yeah.
And so he's fighting, and Luchasaurus runs out for the save, but then is weirdly loath to get in the ring in a way that I didn't. It was like a classic wrestling thing, kind of like, you've done this a lot of times. I know there's a lot of men in there, but you're very big, and I think you probably would feel comfortable getting in the ring to save him. And Luchasaurus was like, I'm not. I can't. I couldn't possibly. It would be impossible. And luckily, the Bucks came in from the other side with chairs, and so we have a whole attack scene in the ring where they're chasing off the ham fuckers, and then they BTE triggered Okada, which is, rough. And they went in for a super kick on Don Callis, but Takeshita took it instead, which feels like it's going to be meaningful. Didn't the framing feel like it will be?
Yeah, it might have been. I don't know. It's hard to tell sometimes.
That's fair. That's fair enough. You're right. Later in the show, Don Callis had a promo where he was like, because the Bucks end up in possession of the $1 million because one of the handfuckers had brought the bag to the ring. And so Don Callis is like, if you keep that $1 million, I will sue you. And I have the right to do so, I guess. And he said, but I'm going to challenge you to a trios match with three of my family members against you guys and the partner of your choosing, and the winners will take home all $1 million, which to me suggested that he knows that he might not win a court case.
It's true. It doesn't sound like someone on firm legal standing. No.
If you know you have a right to the money, I think I would just go to court. So they asked Luchasaurus, and he kind of shook his head, like, certainly not. And then, like,
whoa, that's not all he did. He he, like, the fucking Cookie Monster, like, went, and then he, like, pointed towards Kenny's dressing and was like, he was, like, insane behavior.
He went full, it was like if Cookie Monster was playing the Ghost of Christmas Future and was just pointing at the graveyard, like, you know where you must go.
Yes, and that's exactly it.
And they kind of seemed like, wow, the wisdom of a dinosaur, you're so right for that. So they went and knocked on Kenny's dressing room, and they said, will you fight with us? And Kenny, they were like, and you can have part of this $1 million. And Kenny goes, well, if it's about Don Callis, I'll do it for free, because this is about Don Callis and his family. I'll do it for free. Next week, it's as simple as that. The Elite, the DCF, all your precious money on the line, Don. Tune in. Be there. At this point, I'm like, Kenny, I can hear where you're going with this, and I don't know why. I frankly don't know why it's happening. Be there, be square. And on that note, I must bid you adieu. And I said, Kenny, I love you so much. I mean, truly, my whole heart. You need an intervention. Your relationship to Good Night and Good Luck Nurse or whatever is unhealthy.
It's like the show's still happening. We're not saying good night yet.
You could just say something real, Ken.
On his medical Patreon, what they're intervening on is how he says that instead of getting real about his emotions.
He says, I don't want to. What did Kenny get up to on BTE this week?
he gave a water bottle a blowjob.
Yeah, while saying that he's grown up now.
This was the funniest bit he's done in recent memory. It was so funny.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
I didn't see it in the moment, but I did see later that there was a moment where he flashed his phone and there was a Google search up that was like, gay porn, how to get gay porn. How to get gay porn.
It was also like Young Bucks Ozempic, and it was very funny. There were like four things. I don't remember the other two.
Oh my gosh.
Kenny's the best.
You are the best. I just don't sometimes I don't understand. I feel like you get possessed sometimes on TV. Like something happens to you and I'm like, I don't know that man. Yeah. You know, I want to see the man who blew the water bottle again. Yeah. Bring him back.
But his vibe on Dynamite this week, especially when, like, you know, the Bucks went to go ask if he could if he could, if he would fight. His vibe very much is like, thank God Tony's no longer trying to make me fight with anybody else. This is all I really want to do, and this is all I will be doing.
Yeah, he's been in poodle form for months and months and months. And finally, like, the Young Bucks had to sit down with Tony, and they were just like, you have to stop asking him to fight people he's not friends with. He's not going to do it. He'll turn into a dog instead, and he'll be off TV for a month. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to you, Tony, but you have to give it up. And Tony finally said, fucking fine, I guess. No one told me that this would be part of running a wrestling promotion.
He's like, I'm constantly having to, like, cool the girls down, or I get these migraines. I've got this were-poodle situation.
The thing is, it is, I think it is Kenny's most relatable characteristic, though, is that he says no new friends.
I get you.
I wouldn't want to fight these new guys either.
No. Yeah. At a certain point, you're like, I've met all the people I'm willing to meet.
Absolutely. It's like, I meet somebody else. They seem really great. I'm so sorry. I capped it 3 years ago. Yeah. You're not getting in.
Kenny's like looking at one of those like live, laugh, love signs that says like, you can't make old friends. He's like, yeah, so there's no point.
Now I'm imagining Tony is still solutioning. He's like, I can't give up on this. Like, what if I take the new men and I put them in long brunette wigs?
It's like, maybe he'll fight Bandito. Like, we can trick him. It's Matt in a mask. It's Don't Matt worry about mask. It.
Kenny like gets like a dog, like gets close, like maybe, and then sniffs and then just bristles. It's just like, that is not my Matt. That is not Matt Jackson. He snarls, he growls. Tony has to be like, okay, somebody take him back to his dressing room.
He's like, God, off TV for another 2 weeks, I guess. Jesus. Thought the Bandito thing would work.
That'll teach you, Tony. Come on. Anyway, now apparently Jack Perry is injured. I didn't check up on this. I just saw one thing about it today. And you know what? I think it was a tweet from Fightful. So if I'd clicked through, it could have said something like, he has a splinter. So I don't know. I do not know if it was clickbait and he's fine, or if he's injured. And this is, as you said, Anne, you can say it again. It's the defense against the dark arts spot. No one can make it in the spot in the Connie, maybe.
Yeah.
I hope he's not. He looked really beautiful in his match. His hair is the movement he gets out of that hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Just genetic gifts for him.
It is. I like that he turned face again and started wearing his hair loose. He's like, that's face behavior.
It is. And he just knows he works it, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, also in DCF news, Kyle Fletcher fought Speedball Mike Bailey on Dynamite. And you had a good point about how they framed this on commentary.
Yeah, they were like, and what are these men fighting for? 3 points in the Continental Classic. Okay. Like, it was a bit of a comeback. I thought it might be honor or family or something, but
they did kind of points. The tonally they set it up like life, liberty, pursuit of justice. No. 3 points in the Continental Classic. It's kind of like, I would go home. I don't need them. I personally don't need them. I think it was a really good match. Some of us were preoccupied during it. Should we even say that? Should we just pretend we did really tune in?
Oh, yeah. And it was the best match I've ever seen. Match of the year.
Best match I've ever seen. And what
Please
I said...
Don't get mad at us.
Don't get mad at us. It was a long night. And some of us had gotten in the celts. And some of us were in company. And all three of us were in the celts. You know? And we had other things to talk about.
And we'd already been so focused on so many other things in the episode that sometimes you're just like, well...
As you've been able to tell from our careful reportage, I think you can tell how closely we've followed. Every time I looked up, I was like, they are really good at wrestling. But in fairness to me, I didn't think there was any chance Speedball Mike Bailey was going to win this match, actually.
Yeah.
So I think accidentally at one point, because I was so worked up about something else I was discussing, one of my companions said, like, why are they fighting? And I said, I don't know. I don't care. And then 5 minutes later, I remembered it was a Continental.
And you could have said, for 3 points of the Continental Classic.
I think I said, I don't even like wrestling. And that's not their fault. And maybe cut all of this. I don't know. I think we're going to get... This is the one thing we'll get canceled for. The ham fucking is fine. Mm-hmm. But saying that we accidentally tuned out, this is Mike Ball speed.
Mike Ball Speed Bailey.
This Mike Ball Speed Bailey Fletcher Kyle match. That's a bridge too far, perhaps.
Yeah, probably.
I'm going to watch it back, and I know that at the end, I'm going to be saying Kyle Fletcher is the GOAT. And if anyone ever compares him to Bron Breakker again, they'll be sorry.
Furious. Just like, what the...
I would never let them do that. And Speedball Mike Bailey was wasting away in TNA. His talents were being wasted.
It's outrageous, really, but when we have him now. Yeah.
And he did cut a post-match promo.
He won, if we didn't say that.
Yeah, he won.
It's crazy.
Yeah, he won. And Kyle, again, Kyle's post-match promo was kind of like fine. Like a little too fine. Like, he was kind of like, shit, it's always happening. But we get back at it again. And it was like, I don't know that tub thumping should be cutting it right now. And Speedball Mike Bailey's vibe was like,
they were like, I needed this, which is like a funny phrase to have like narrowed in on. And it does make it seem like they've had a really bad year and they're really like,
yes,
this is the last thing holding them up, you know?
Which is funny because I'm like, you've had kind of a blessed year. Like, too blessed to be stressed, really. Like,
you're out of TNA, I mean, where you were wasted.
You'll never have to be on AMC. That's huge.
It's so huge. Like, no one wants that for you.
No one wants, let alone me. And then he said, he was like, all I want in the world, I don't know if he said that, but he was like, all I want in the world is to meet Kevin Knight in the finals. And I was like, that's really aggressive. To me, that's just a little too aggressive. Like, you guys were doing pretty well last week, and I think you might mean it. Like, you want, because he's your partner, you both want to be the best, but you're kind of saying it like you might kill him.
Was this also giving you anxiety?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And oh, no. But I'm not telling them anything else about that until I have $100 in Venmo at least.
And then maybe, I think that's a fair
deal. Then
maybe
we can start to get to the root of why I have, why at the second I see something going well for someone, I think that's all going to fall apart. There's no way that can last. Love can't last. I'm always saying it. So be careful when somebody loves you.
Yeah. Yep.
And also, OC and Roddy had their match on Collision, and Roddy was really, really, really mean, and he kept backbreakering OC and chopping his hot little chest all over really hard in a way where it was like, the energy isn't nothing between the two.
It's true, yeah.
Sometimes when two people both love someone else the way these men love Kyle O'Reilly, that can be its own unique erotic energy that is in some ways more powerful than a simple love between two individuals.
Okay, so Willow?
When there's a conduit, when there's something they both want and can't have, so they have each other instead. Well, that's all I'll say about that. But
yeah, it sucks that Kyle's not around.
I miss him.
I know.
I miss him. The thing about Kyle is that if he were there watching that, I don't think that he would understand that it was erotic. I'm not sure he knows what sex is.
No, and he wouldn't know that it was about him either, which also makes him a good conduit,
yeah,
I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He would be like, you guys were really mad at each other. No further questions. It was like, yeah. No,
he's just Kyle, like, there's a lot of energy. Like, I don't know why you guys are so worked up. I'm like, anyway. And then, like, he asks one of them to go get dinner after, and the other one's just, like, fuming, and he's like, doesn't even see
it. It seems fine. It's like, Kyle, they both want you carnally. They both desire you carnally, romantically, intellectually.
Yeah, which I hadn't really thought about OC and Kyle until this moment, but I do think it's correct.
Anyway, OC won the match, and Roddy looked really mad afterwards, and then he also looked ripshit on Dynamite, because after Babes of Wrath won the tag team belts, there was a big conglom group hug, and Roddy was just in the background looking like, fuck my fucking life. And the only complaint I have, I love all of this, the only complaint I have is, where's my fucking promo?
Yeah.
Roddy?
Yeah. I know. OC? He was doing such good melting down, and I really want to see OC suffering with his poor old man back, but
yeah,
no.
So did you like that even the men loved Roddy's promo? I saw multiple people.
Did they?
Yeah, multiple people were like, he can do this, and he's been spending all year yelling?
In fairness, the yelling was sometimes funny. Until I'm done with Roddy.
Yeah, which was quite a while ago, unfortunately.
Long time ago.
Started funny, and then it really wore out its welcome, and he did not adjust.
Well, that makes me happy, because it was a great promo.
Yeah.
And I'd love for him to... What I want to see, Roddy, I know you listen. What I want to see when you give your next promo, which should be very soon, I'd really like to see it, is I want you to continue to access that pathos of the self-hatred. Leah's kissing her cat right now. Leah.
So sweet.
I am really not, sweet. This is not my best.
Sweetest face of all time. It was so sweet. You just look so happy. You're like, I have my lovely cat. We all wish we had a cat here. I'm trying to think what I'm trying to say because of the whiskey. I just don't want you to say the exact same thing again, Roddy. I think that is a pit that many fall into, a pitfall. Some might say.
Roddy falls
and
into
you especially.
It more than most. Yeah, where it's like one thing works, so I will do that one thing for 2 full years. And it's like, no, Roddy.
It is the hole that is not a grave or whatever, Roddy. It's like, Roddy?
That is not a grave or whatever.
You know what I mean? And it's not even a good thing to reference in this case, because it has nothing to do with what's going on with Roddy, which is just that every time Roddy sees a hole in the road, he says, I'm going to walk into it. I love that hole. I love walking into it.
Yeah.
You have to say something new this time. Different than what you said last time, we need to deepen our understanding of what's happening in the psyche of Roddy, okay? Don't say the same thing. Don't scream anybody's name. But it is okay if you want to say, like, I've loved Kyle longer than him. That would be okay.
Yeah.
You could say that.
That'd be great. Yeah. Could say that a lot. Could really explore.
You could explore
how you feel about Kyle in general.
I'd love to hear something about Kyle from both men.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine what OC would say, but if you guys want to talk about Kyle, and I'd love to see Kyle. And I'd love to see Kyle's thighs. Sweet smile. So Kyle, hop on Instagram. Okay, was there anything you wanted to talk about that we didn't get a chance to talk about?
I do want to call out FTR.
Oh.
Promoed on the Bang Bang Gang.
Yes.
They came across like real dicks, which I know they're heels, but it was a little too far for me. But they also told Juice that he would never be anything more than Mr. Tony Storm, which in kayfabe, he is not. And I'd just like to call out FTR for killing the business.
Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow. That is... FTR, I know you listen. That may be rough to hear. It may be rough to hear that you're killing the business. But I do think that we all need to remain cognizant of not just how we perceive the people around us, but the stories that they themselves are actually telling.
Yeah. Tony Storm's married to Mina.
She's married to Mina.
Never met Juice Robinson.
She doesn't know that man.
No, please respect her autonomy.
I think you should have said, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. What?
I honestly wish he had. You mean Mina's wife?
Timeless Tony Storm?
I wish. Thank you, Anne. That was a good flag. I have not been following FTR storylines right now.
No, you shouldn't. It's not.
Oh, but they have the belts. I forgot.
I totally forgot too, actually. And I watched their god-awful promo.
I forgot. Hmm. Okay, well, on that note of forgetting FTR, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, and Blue Sky at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can find us on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out all the other great podcasts on the network, and you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty. It would be impossible not to at this time of year. And as always, please come back next year. Next week. School's out for summer.
1 Volleyball is back. The world's best players together on American soil. This is volleyball like you've never seen before.
Huge swings, massive blocks, jaw-dropping digs. A sport where every play is a highlight. League One Volleyball returns January 7th, 2026 with teams in Atlanta, Austin, Houston, Madison, Nebraska, and Salt Lake. To buy tickets, visit lovb.com/iHeart.